Good afternoon, Jules fans, and welcome back to Jules in the Blood Injury Time Podcast. Joined once again by the big man himself, Boz.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, alright, yeah.
Looking forward to today?
To today?
Yeah, you know, to doing this pod, for playing a bit of FIFA 21 later.
To looking forward to getting beat, yeah. It'd be a laugh, wouldn't it?
Obviously, you've played a few games so far of FIFA 21. Your comments on Jules so far?
Two.
And that's a few, isn't it?
Well, no, it's a couple.
That's the same. What?
No. So, no, I played the same game you did. You had to play while it's loading. And then I played one game with Jules in the season. I was 3-0 down at half time. So, yeah. It's a bit different, but it always takes a little while to get used to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. And we had randomly generated players, you said, in the squad.
Yeah, so if you don't update the squads when you go into team sheets, because we only had, I think it was like 15 contracted players at the time when they first done it. Yeah, we've got three just random players appeared.
Fair enough. Yeah. So, the plan for this pod then, the last pod we done was just prior to the first league game against Hull. So, we're going to review the last month or so.
It's not been bad, has it?
It's not been too bad. We have got the topic as a result of the last game, which we will get onto later. We've got a caption competition. And we've got a Dutch.
You remembered. I've just thought you did text me last night and say to remind you.
Yeah, and I've remembered. So we've got a Dutch story later on. So if we start with the caption competition, you found this picture, and I must confess that
neither of us know who this guy is.
No. So if anyone on Twitter or Facebook wants to give us a message when we put the pod details out and tell us who it is, then put us to shame.
That'd be great.
I recognise him. It's obviously in a player before our time.
I may be wrong, and I probably am, but I'm wondering if it's Cascarino.
That's who I was thinking. I was thinking of someone, but the name wouldn't come to me. So if anyone...
I'm Tommy Trueblue now, judging by his pose.
Show me the picture again.
So we zoom in.
Yeah, now you said it, I think it is Cascarino.
He could be well off because he was before our time.
He was before our time, but he did look familiar to me, and I kept looking at it and I couldn't think of the name. But now you've said it, I think you've got it bang on, to be fair. For a start, where did you find this picture?
Literally just typed in Tommy Trueblue on Google.
Right, as you do. Yeah. So do you want to describe the picture as well for anyone that hasn't seen it?
Judging by the kit that Tommy Trueblue is wearing, it was in the Edinburgh days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe 15, 16?
Yeah.
The ref's in the background, it must be before a game, so it's like a ref or a linesman in the background warming up.
I think it is before a game, considering the fact that Tommy's on the pitch.
Yeah, but I mean, he's on the pitch at half time as well, isn't he?
Mm.
But anyway, yeah, what we think is Tony Cascarino is about to take a shot, and Tommy Trueblue's got his hands out, like, even he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, so that was the picture. And
we'll go a little bit different because normally we have pictures of us, funny pictures of us.
Yeah. There's one picture you don't want, which I managed to confirm after the last pod. I'd forgotten literally until the other day and I asked you.
Yeah.
And then you said a few more that I can't use either, which is frustrating.
I don't know, there's not many. I think I only shut two off.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, back to this picture. So the comments that we had, the majority of comments have been on Facebook this time rather than Twitter, which is interesting. So the first one on my list is Jaffa Brown, who captioned, "Tommy T, what sort of rainbow flick is that, you bellend?"
Oh, yeah, that's important. He might not be shooting. He might be trying to do some tricks.
I think he is.
Yeah.
Malcolm Bell, "The Tommy T dance was prematurely broken up by a stray, well-driven ball." Mark Reynolds, "I know you've been let go by Arsenal, but this is my team." Obviously topical at the moment after Gunnosaurus has been...
I was trying to think who have we had that we signed for Arsenal, and I realised that, yeah.
What, Trey Coyle and Medley that are in the squad?
I don't know anymore.
Right. Simon Bilney, the next one. "Tommy, see if you can do the John Cleese walk like me."
Yeah, I'll get
that
now.
Yeah, you know the reference.
Yeah.
Good work. Richard Cherry, "Tommy takes trials for a new number 9. That's a bit of alliteration there, Boz, as well.
It does.
Andrew Peter Gould, "Tommy T, I advise studs if you're playing in loafers." Matt Boosie, "Is that Toby Lerone, brother of last summer's big signing, Toby?" the infamous pod moment.
One of your favourite moments.
That is one of my favourite moments. Ian Day, the Strictly routine clearly needs more time. And an interesting comment from James Johnson, thought my balls had dropped a long time ago. And Boz, what's the one that you've got?
Oh, there's two.
Oh, two.
Yeah, so from Franco Shaughnessy on Twitter, Tommy, oh, come on, I'm the clown on match days. And Alan Sport, if I stand here long enough, maybe Arsenal will spot me. I'm assuming that's aimed at Tommy.
What? Yeah, rather than Cascarino.
Who we think is Cascarino, yeah.
I think it is Cascarino. I have some faith in your ability. Right, so, like I said, the last time that we recorded was just before the whole game. So what we do, we kind of run through the month. We won't discuss each game in detail because, for a start, neither of us have watched an EFL Trophy game.
No.
And quite frankly, we don't give a shit.
No, could not care less.
There's some games you haven't seen and vice versa.
You haven't seen the Carabao Cup games.
Yeah. So we will start with the whole game itself.
Yeah, it wasn't great, was it?
No.
I mean, we huffed and puffed, but they had a bit more quality than us. Fair enough.
Yeah. Deserved loss.
Yeah, I don't think we offered a great deal going forward, did we?
And the big news, just after we finished recording and just after we finished talking about it last time, was that Hanlon left.
Yes,
as well.
Literally, wasn't it, minutes after we finished recording?
Yeah, literally about 10-15 minutes after he then went to Bristol Rovers.
He scored one goal, I believe, so far.
Penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As many goals as Aymar scored.
Yeah.
We got an own goal against Sunderland, was it?
His first game, wasn't it? It might have been Sunderland.
Oh, I can't remember who it was. So, yeah, he's gone, but we've obviously replaced him with a far better striker, who we'll get onto in a bit. So the game after Carabao Cup against Coventry, you didn't see.
I saw highlights and it was Coventry shooting distance and it was a penalty from us.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely got away with one. I don't think their keeper had a save to make at all, and then got a pen in the last minute, which was converted by the man, Jordan Graham. And then we won on penalties. And straight after that game, we signed their young whippersnapper in midfield,
Josh Eccles. Stuart O'Keefe got injured in that game, didn't
he? Yeah. Yeah, obviously that was the game after that. Dempsey had gone off against Hull, hadn't he?
Yeah.
But he's now back in training, so.
Yeah, probably won't be risked this week, but hopefully back for next week.
Yeah, so obviously the first few games, that wasn't great from that point of view, losing two key midfield players. But like I said, we've replaced them with Eccles and the lad from Celtic, McDonald?
Robertson.
Roberts. Where am I getting McDonald from? Oh, Alex McDonald, I'm thinking of. Sorry, Robertson.
We also have Rod McDonald, don't we?
Huh?
They used to play for Wimbledon, forget that. McKenzie, isn't it, we've got?
Robbie McKenzie.
Yeah.
We're doing well so far.
We are, it's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah. No, we signed Robertson, who...
Yeah, looks decent, I think.
Pretty much the same calibre as Josh Eccles, just...
Eccles has been a pleasant surprise.
I think they both have. I think with young players, sometimes you worry about them, and I think they will get caught out at times because they're young and they're learning the game, but they both look like they've got plenty of quality on the ball. The game after is the one we all watched together. Wigan away.
Yeah, we were very good that day, weren't we?
Yeah.
Graham, a couple of brilliant goals.
Yeah.
The first one, he just seemed to lash into the top of the net, didn't he? The second one, there's a bit of quality about it.
I think the first one was quality as well. The touch to set himself and then to rifle it past the keeper, yeah.
We went one down that day, didn't we?
Yeah. Corner, weren't it?
Particularly well, but then from then on, it was all us, really.
And then who got the third?
Who have we got?
Got such short-term memory or something.
I don't think he's got a league out yet.
I mean, I've got the fixtures right in front of me, so I've now clicked like any normal person. I've mentioned him already from Arsenal.
Oh, Trocor.
That was another good goal as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was decent, yeah. Coming off the left.
And I think that was probably the last game where we've looked a bit frail defensively. I think since then we seem to have improved.
Yeah, I think although we seem to have a lot of defenders, I think we have a lot of good defenders. I won't say brilliant, but we've got a lot of good defenders.
And the game after is another one you missed, Carabao Cup, where we went out the third round against Stoke.
I think you and Matt had similar thoughts, didn't you, where we competed well enough, but they were just a better team.
Yeah, they were just far better. And again, similar to the round before against Coventry, I don't think we really tested their keeper. I can't recall him having to make a save, but it was an all right performance.
Evans has made it quite clear, hasn't he, the last 2 weeks at the cup competitions he really doesn't care about.
Yeah. And then the last game to end the month was Blackpool at home. The return of Dominic Samuel.
Yep.
Took him,
within, what was it, 6 seconds?
Three, 4 minutes, I think, wasn't it?
Very early on. Corner came over and he scrambled on it. Jack Tucker has it back across goal.
Yeah.
And he's basically on the line, but that's what we want. If he scores 15 goals like that this season, I'll be happy.
And then the second one was...
brilliant, the second one.
Brilliant work by Mandron up top, weren't it? Too?
Mandron?
Oh, for fuck's sake. For Dane Oliver.
Who has been an unsung hero so far. No one really surprised.
That's why I've said Mandron, because he reminds me of what I thought Mandron would be like the season before.
Yeah.
But yeah, for Dane Oliver, beg your pardon.
Had Samuel not got two goals, I mean, Colin would have easily got man of the match out, don't
you? Yeah. I mean, again, the display wasn't, you know, it wasn't
I think at 2-0 we kind of, not give up, we sort of settled, didn't we?
Yeah. But I mean, in general, it wasn't much of a spectacle.
I think we had a couple of chances, didn't they? I think Bonham made a good save, you know, flashed one wide at the end. But on paper, Blackpool got a decent squad, so to get 3 points out of that.
And a lot of their fans weren't happy on Twitter either.
No, very salty, weren't they?
Very salty. Jesus.
Because who kept getting fouled? One of our players kept getting fouled.
One of our players kept getting fouled?
Yeah, it might have even been Graham. I think they bullied him, I think, in the second half. There's a lot of talk saying that our players go down too easily and then that we're like a rugby side and we go long ball. Well, I wouldn't want to watch what they put on for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I expected better when I saw an angle in their squad.
Yeah, I don't think they caused us too much issues really, and I don't get a lot of the complaints from their fans and their team, etc.
What do they expect?
Yeah, exactly. And I think last week's one that me, you and Rach eventually managed to watch after issues with iFollow.
You getting extremely stressed out.
Very stressed.
There is something about this house and iFollow, isn't it? Because we thought it was my laptop, so we thought, well, we'll try it on Rach's. Made no difference at all.
Well, that's the thing. We've watched the games here before on Rach's laptop. And it's been fine, but for some reason it just weren't having it. So I think
we watched about 15 minutes?
No, we got to about the 7th or 8th minute, didn't we? Been watching for about 90 seconds and Shrewsbury scored. Then got to about the 11th minute and it gave up.
The amount of things we tried on it. Yeah. It kept turning right for a few seconds and going again.
And then it weren't until the 27th minute we got it back on and then...
It lasted.
But it was an absolutely shocking game.
I was like, I was getting a bit annoyed.
What did I get out for the second half?
Oh, you got bubble wrap. I mean, to be fair, it's probably more entertaining than 90 odd of 10 minutes. That was a poor 90 minutes.
Just come downstairs. I've got this for the second half. Some bubble wrap.
You were scared to move at one point because you were sat on the floor with a laptop and you got it working.
Oh, yeah.
And then you say, oh, I don't really want to move.
Yeah.
I think you stayed there for all the rest of the first half.
Yeah, and then I went. And then Rach went, you can sit up here. No, I can't move.
No, I dare move it and go again.
Like that Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean when he's in a box with his brand new telly. And
he goes, gets naked in it.
It only works when he can't see it, yeah.
So, yeah.
Poor game, that one.
Poor game. Obviously, what happened right at the end.
Made it all worth it.
Made it worth it and is the topic for this week.
Yeah,
which we'll get onto in a bit. But in all, we've finished the first kind of month now in the playoff places.
Yeah.
I think it's been a good month.
I think we've all taken it at the start. We'd have probably wrote off Hull at the start anyway, so we probably won't get much out of that.
Yeah, I think if you look at the league games and you look at Hull at home, Wigan away, and Blackpool at home. And if you was offered 6 out of 9 before that, you definitely would have taken it, weren't you?
I say that a lot. Any point away is a good point.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they weren't good, but we weren't very good either.
So, yeah, I think it's been good.
We've already praised for Dane Oliver. How about that block against Shrewsbury?
Oh, wow. That was something
else. Samuel? It was like, that's going in. We were all like ready to cheer, and Oliver's basically on the line and has cleared it. He's been really good. He just needs a goal.
Yeah, that's the only thing that he needs. But, yeah, I can't fault him. I think he's absolutely been brilliant. He's probably, well, before Samuel came in first choice, I think their players are two, though, won't they? I can't see him dropping.
I think so, yeah. I think, since you last week, I felt bad for Akindi, because, yeah, he came on eventually, and he played his part in the goal, didn't he?
Yeah.
But we were 1-0 down away, and he hit 80 minutes, and Akindi wasn't even warming up, and started thinking, you know, he's got to be asking questions.
That was the game designed for him, because
we were going long. We had nothing else.
Yeah, and the thing that frustrated me, we know what kind of team we are. We know that we're going to play like that at times, but there was no, it was as if we were just hoofing it up there. There was no kind of direction on it. It was just a bit of hit and hope.
There was a couple of times like Tucker had won the ball and he's tried to play it like over the top, but it's just not like Samuel and Oliver. They're quick, and Oliver's a decent enough size, but Akindi's more of a presence, and makes defenders a bit uneasy, I think.
But then that's what makes it an even better point, the fact it was last minute, the fact that we didn't play great, and it was away from home, like you said, any point away from home is great. So
another good finish from Graham. Including the cup, he's gone, what was he now, 4 goals, 5 goals?
Must be more than that, surely.
One against Coventry. 2 against Wigan.
Yeah.
One last week, must be on 4.
Yeah.
I think that's the joint most he's got in his career, isn't it, throughout the season?
I think he's
going to. Because he had a very stop-start career.
I think he's going to get, I was going to say 15, 10, 15.
Oh, I'll be disappointed if he doesn't get double figures now.
Get double figures, in my opinion, with the service that he's getting and just the type of player he is.
He's loving it, isn't he?
Yeah, like, he's embraced it.
All over social media, he's always smiling on the games.
And then for anyone that cares, just other games we've played, we lost against Ipswich in the Tim Pot Trophy the other night. But
did you see their team?
No.
Honestly, I recognise 4 names, maybe. But I think their manager said the same as Evans, said, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just going to give the kids a run out.
Yeah, neither manager really cared, did they? But
we just need to use that as a training exercise for the likes of Joe Walsh. Give him a bit of experience.
You do know this will be the year where we get to bloody Wembley when we can't go.
The final for
London. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not even played yet, has it? So,
a lot of them players have all moved on.
Yeah, I don't know how that'll work, but because I know, just going off on a bit of a tangent, like at Sheppey Sunday League, obviously my team got to 2 finals.
Yeah, you still haven't played them, have you?
They haven't played them, but when they rearranged them, they said only players signed on for that season can play. So That's
all well and good. You've got to retire now.
I've retired, yeah. I don't know how that's going to work, but be interesting.
It's strange, isn't it? Because there could be players that have gone between them teams.
Yeah, there probably is as well. Players that we've bought in since last time, like I said, Hanlon went minutes after we discussed Hanlon for about 15 minutes. No one else has gone, have they?
No, we can't really lose anyone else. We do now have a bench each week at the moment. We've now got our 7 subs.
And then coming in, obviously, like we've said, Eccles, not Robertson.
No, Robertson was already in. We signed Drysdale as well from Coventry.
Yeah.
Meant to be a centre-half, come on as a DM last week, done all right. Put himself about a bit.
Yeah, he linked up.
We do now have Eccles. 6 loans, though, don't we?
Yeah.
In my eyes, I'll say we've literally been 45 minutes of him, but Drysdale's the one that misses out for me. But I suppose, needs must. It depends what you need.
Yeah, it's early days though, isn't it? Obviously, as you just alluded to, 6 loans, the 6th of which was Tom O'Connor coming back.
I forgot O'Connor, yeah.
I thought that's what you were going on about.
No, I was going Drysdale.
Ah, okay. And then the big one, Dominic Samuel.
We'll chat about that, won't we?
Very it's happy.
It's been rumoured for, 2 years on and off now?
Yeah.
And what I loved most in his interview was the bottom paragraph when he said, I've come to somewhere where I'd get my number 9 because I want that responsibility.
He's guaranteed goals at this level as well, in my opinion. I know that we've probably said that about Akinde and it's not quite come off yet, but I think with Samuel it is different.
There's times, you watch us at the moment, and last week we had to go long towards the end. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but we tend to start games where we're playing the ball around 1-2 touch. And I think that suits, and like when we do go long, Oliver's winning. How many aerial duels didn't we see something the other day? Like, there's like 2 games already this season when he hasn't lost a header.
Yeah.
I think Samuel will get goals out of Oliver when he flick ons.
Agreed. Anyway.
O'Connor can't play tomorrow.
Huh?
O'Connor's not available tomorrow, is he?
No, he's away on international duty. That'd be another team as well, by the way, that if we do beat them, their fans will have an absolute meltdown.
Thing for us at the
There's this one fan what? That bloody tweets every time that,
every
we
time
sign
we make
someone.
A signing, yeah.
It's just, he's a bit obsessed.
And I think Oxford signed someone and he put a bet in the room for him too.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's strange.
They're
one of them teams that I think the league position is a bit false at the moment. They've got a very good squad.
Yeah, it'd be a test, that's for sure. First of many 1 o'clock kickoffs as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of 6:30 ones, midweek ones as well, and 7 o'clock ones.
Hmm. Strange, isn't it? Do you buy that we've moved it forward to save on floodlights? Because if it's like, it is now, like, what's the time?
10 to 5.
It's not exactly light outside, is it?
No.
If it's like rainy and shitty weather, you have to put the floodlights on anyway.
Yeah, a lot of times at half time, don't we see floodlights go on?
Yeah.
At the moment, anything to save a bit of money.
Yeah, I don't know if it is that or if it's just Evans wants an early kickoff or, don't know,
both teams have agreed or,
Yeah, you'd like to think that it's a discussion that's taken place before, wouldn't you? Anyway, got a bit of information as to the Hanlon leaving, Samuel coming in.
Is this for Dutch rumour?
This is courtesy of our Dutch correspondent. And it's very good to have.
That is a bloody essay.
Yeah. Do you want to read it?
No.
Do you want me to read it? Right. Anyway, Dutch has got in touch. I've got a bit of background to the Hanlon saga, and it's not pleasant. Mrs. G is an assessor for the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme, where young people complete physical challenges outdoors before hurling racial abuse at Chinese people. Last week, she interviewed a young man who turned out to be Brandon Hanlon's nephew, Keith. As they chatted afterwards, Keith let slip that Brandon was unhappy at Jules and wanted out at the end of last year. One Thursday, the team were doing Jay Thingy's online quiz, as usual, playing as a team. The question was, name a player who had 2 testimonials for Gillingham FC. Quick as a flash, Hanlon shouted, Buster Bill Collins, because Hanlon knows his history. Paul Rayner said, bollocks, mate, no way, it was Chris Pike. Rayner realises he was wrong but wouldn't back down. Hanlon was furious, said, that's it, I quit, doing that finger-wagging thing people on American trash shows do. The drama queen. This split the dressing room in half, and the wounds were only healed when the management promised to replace Hanlon with a striker who knew where the fucking goal was. This week, Mrs. G has been helping out a friend in a charity shop in Runcorn. An old deer called in to drop off a porcelain shy horse, a Telstra compilation jazz LP, called More Moolah for My Hula, Mr. Moneymaker, and 3 ducks can stick on your wall, in brackets, niche reference for Rachel there. This old deer was on her way to a socially distanced baking competition in Blackpool and needed a hat, so she asked Mrs. G for help. As they tried on a variety of old tifters, they got chatting, and it turns out that this woman is Violet Samuels, Dominic's auntie.
No bloody way. I am shocked.
She said the deal was done just before lockdown, but Dom went on an ill-advised trip to Israel and was caught in their ultra-strict lockdown regulations. He was only allowed out last week after Scally flew to Tel Aviv for a showdown with the Israeli government. We don't know what was said, but Dom was released, and the Israelis put out a statement blaming ITV Digital for the whole incident. And that is the end of that.
Wow.
Thoughts?
That explains it.
Yeah.
We had our theories. That's just confirmed it.
It all makes sense now. Anyway, ending on the topic, which, like we said, was based on the very late goal by Jordan Graham. A lot of these we've covered anyway, haven't we? When we've done our favourite goals.
Yeah, I think already one jumped in my mind we may have already discussed.
But we thought we'd get the late winners and late levellers, and there's even been a few late goals where we have finished in defeat, which we allude to when we read out the comments. But speaking of Hanlon, that was one of the first that come into my mind from last season.
Oh, Sunderland in the Cup.
Not that one.
What's the other one?
You didn't watch it, but you was woken up by it.
Oh, was it Southend?
No.
What was the away game? That was it, Bristol Rovers?
No.
Blackpool.
Yay.
There you go. Yeah.
Regan Charles Cook equaliser, and then Hanlon winner.
Well, I was having a wee, and Matt just appeared in my bathroom. Bit strange.
Very strange. So, do you want to read the comments first and then discuss ours, or a mixture of both?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there one on Twitter?
There is one, I believe.
One. A singular one.
It's from Bouncing Phil. Paul Smith, stoppage time, loopy slow motion header to draw at Preston, from what I think was our only shot on target, sounds similar to last week. Wasn't long after he'd scored a latest volley to win at home to Stoke. I really believe those two goals were keeping us up that year. Is that a goal against Stoke I've talked about before, that volley, do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah, latest volley to win at home to Stoke. Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah.
Right, Boz, do some talking. I just need to Google something because I've got one that I'm not sure if it was late enough because I said 85 minutes onwards.
You did.
So, Boz, what are some of your favourite late goals whilst I Google and try not to make
the
any?
The other one I spoke about before was Dean McDonald at home to Chesterfield.
Oh, yeah,
There was hardly anyone in the ground, I believe, and it was a cold, wintry day and we went mad. I think it was only for a draw. I'm not sure it was a winner. I think Kevin Ennison played for him.
He's still going as well.
He's just on for Newport, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went back one we went a bit mad for. More recently, Conor Ogilvie last season did it a couple of times, didn't he?
Yeah, that was one of mine that I was thinking of as well, the cup one against Sunderland. That was quite late on.
The league one as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the last 10.
Rochdale as well, didn't he get a late one?
He'd all around, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And then the other one, which I went a bit mad for, Mandarin away at Sunderland this season. Season just gone.
Yeah.
96th minute.
The last
deserved
game.
Deserved not to lose that game.
The last game of football you went to.
Yeah.
It was the last wasn't it? Before lockdown.
Those were the days when we could all go to football.
Yeah.
It's all right, though, because now you can sit in a bloody venue, go and watch BBC Proms, can't you? Yeah, because that's nice and safe.
Or you can go to a cinema to watch live football, but not in the stadium
itself.
Yeah,
pay 15 quid for the privilege.
Yeah. All makes sense, don't it?
But, 2020, isn't it?
Yeah, but for anyone that hasn't seen, we have tweeted it from our personal accounts and Matt's tweeted it from the Jills and the Blood account and we've done it from the pod account. Is the petition going around?
Went up mad, didn't it?
I signed it on that morning, whatever morning, what morning was it?
Wednesday or Thursday
Wednesday, yeah. And it was at 4,000 and by the end of the day it was like 118,000.
Yeah. It's like once it reaches 100,000, it goes for an MP, doesn't it?
Goes to, they have to discuss it in Parliament, yeah. I mean, I don't hold out any hope.
But I can't see what the issue is if you do it reduced capacity.
Yeah. Because we've, you know, at a lower level, we've been to Sheppey, haven't we?
Yeah. And they're still getting decent enough crowds.
Yeah. And they're through to the FA Cup first qualifying round now.
They beat Welling.
Unbeaten this season.
Two leagues above him, yeah.
Welcome to Sheppey and the Blood TV. Up the ice.
Who are the ex-Jewel dads there? Callum Emptage is there, isn't he?
Yeah, Danny
Devine,
who scored the second.
Yeah, scored last week.
Yeah, Callum Emptage, Danny Devine. I don't know if there's any more.
I'm sure that Danny Leonard was on our books a few years back, but that's only through Football Manager, I think I know that. You got your comments there?
I have got my comments there. So, obviously, there's a few blatantly obvious ones, like Root Smith, who says, going to state the bleeding obvious, but surely 118 minutes is the best time to score a late winner, referring to the goal against Wigan to take us to the championship, which
Jackson.
Is, yeah, Jackson as well.
I've only just remembered it.
How could you forget it?
Well, he's literally on the wall there.
Yeah. It's, they're probably two of the most iconic goals in our history. Late winners.
Yeah, sorry, I can't remember Dean McDonald against Chesterfield.
Yeah, all the big ones. Les Walters, who put Bob Taylor versus Fulham. Obviously before our time, so we don't know too much about that one. David Pope, a cracking late volley by Leo Fortune West at home versus Plymouth in 97-98 is seared into my brain for the pandemonium it caused us in the old Rainham End. He's attached a YouTube clip of it. He said the footage below doesn't seem to bear this out, but I remember ending up a good 20 yards from where I'd started after the celebrations had died down. Richard Caulfield, it wasn't a leveller or a winner, but Hess stoppage time goal at Stoke in the playoff semi-final first leg changed the whole complexion of the tie. And that was an absolute belter as well.
It was, yeah.
Barry Davis, going back in time, can't beat Ken Price's two very late goals versus Shrewsbury in 1979 in front of 14,000+, both top three at the time and very late in the season. I thought our 2-0 win would see us promoted, sadly not to be. And then he had another one back in the day. How about four late goals? Was Brentford in the FA Cup around 1984? 3-1 down after 81 minutes. Win 5-3. WTF? Question mark. Crazy game.
Well, you know, Matt would have been all over that.
Yeah.
That'd have made for a good match, don't they?
Richard Cherry also mentioned Simeon Jackson at Wembley versus Shrewsbury. What was I just about to say to you before?
One just popped in my head.
Gone.
First year we had season tickets, Millwall at home. Inch Barton's last game.
Oh, yes.
I think Naira knows where they got.
Yeah, he did, right, yeah. At the end, 4-3. Kind of hit the... Did it hit the defender and kind of loop in, or keeper saved it and it kind of...
I can't remember. Yeah. I know it was a bit mad, that game. It was...
Yeah.
Wasn't it like 1-1, 2-1, 3-1,
something
3-2?
Like that, yeah. And another one from... I don't think it was... Yeah, it must have been from that season. The return fixture away to Millwall.
Oh, Kevin James, isn't it?
Still one of my favourite goals. And obviously it's the last minute as well. So, yeah, absolutely brilliant goal to secure a 2-1 win. And another late goal against Millwall, Dominic Samuel, when we went and won 3-0.
That's one of the best away games, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. I had a random thought... One of the angriest late goals was when...
Oh,
I know, there's probably not many, but I think it just summed up the all-round general performance, is when Dak saved us from going out the FA Cup to... I think it was... Yeah, it would have been Brackley, wouldn't it?
Brackley.
In like the 92nd, 93rd minute after we'd been 2-0 down. Yeah, that's what I mean. So that was a very angry...
That home one?
Yeah.
When Gary Mulligan played, yeah. Oh, God.
Those were the days.
There were some bad Brackley games, weren't there? Saying that in the FA Cup, Hartlepool a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah.
Didn't we score right at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't like the FA Cup much, do we? Not against lowest league sides.
No, that's when we tend to jewels it up, don't we? Gary Myerscough, Cody's late winner against Wolves after Sky gave us about 30 seconds coverage in the build-up. Remember going mental at home and waking the missus up. Nothing better than scoring a winner against one of the so-called big boys. Fuck off, Sky. And then Lee Clifton has put a few in there, which I think sums it up quite well. And there's a few that I actually forgot about. So thanks for your comment, Lee. So the first one he mentioned, and some of these we've discussed as well. First one, Jules 5, Hereford United 4. Gavin Tomlin scoring the winner after Gazzaniga had saved.
I think I was at work.
Yeah, well, trying to keep you up to date.
Yeah, it was difficult.
On a very cold, I think it might have been about February the game, so a very cold winter's night, trying to text you the goals as they were going in. Weren't doing a very good job. Lee's put Mandron's equaliser last season, which we've discussed. Scott Wagstaff's 96th minute equaliser away at Chesterfield as Gillingham came back from 3-1 down to draw 3-all. I must admit, I can't even remember that
one. It does ring a bell, but I will say, Scott Wagstaff, fuck you. Jesus. He's totally changed his opinion of him, hasn't he?
See what you really feel next time, boss. Yeah. I'm sure he's complimentary of you as well.
No, I'm sure he is, yeah.
Another one that Lee mentions that I did have in my head, but I forgot to say so far, is Amar's stoppage time equaliser against Peterborough as we drew 1-1. The little pitch invasion that seemed to happen in the corner of...
Oh, yeah, it didn't the wall collapse, didn't it?
No, it was the wall collapsed when Jackson scored against Villa. And that wasn't a late one either.
No.
No, that's when the wall collapsed. The Amar one was the other side, wasn't it?
With the golden rope. Yeah, we were adamant, like, why we're in a pitch invasion.
Yeah, it did.
Like, we've been rubbish.
Would that have been Evans managing Peterborough then, 2017-18?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, when he went to Mansfield.
Yeah. Lee said about the Hanlon one from last season that we spoke about, mentioned McDonald's that we've discussed. An interesting one that probably not many people remember. Leon Legg's stoppage time equaliser from Josh Pritchard's sensational cross.
Matt's rose about that goal now, don't he?
Where we came from 2-0 down to draw 2-2 away to Preston on
Josh
a Tuesday
Pritchard's
night.
Highlight of his Jules career.
Yeah. He was, when we saw him at pre-season friendly in Faversham, told us he was going to the...
Off to Holland with Martin Jol.
Yeah.
Never happened.
Where is he now?
Sweden last, I heard.
Is he?
I think he came up on Twitter last year.
Okay.
Just quickly, Cody, the overhead kick, was against Walter, wasn't that quite late?
Maybe.
I may have to Google that quickly.
Okay. I'll carry on reading the comment then. And the last, Lee also mentioned the Jackson winner at Wembley, and the one other one we haven't discussed is Dak's winning goal against Watford in extra time at Vicarage Road.
Oh, you were there, weren't you?
I was there, yeah. As we pulled off a cup set and secured a next round tie against Tottenham at White Hart Lane, where we got hammered.
Yeah, we had a good day, didn't we?
Yeah, good day out. And that's it. So, Boz, have you got anything to add? How's your internet research going?
It's not. Did you want to discuss B teams briefly, or should we leave that to the next one?
B teams.
Have you not been online recently?
Yeah, I've not really paid too much attention to the comments. So this is the Man City, what's his role? Sporting director?
Yeah, maybe something along them lines. An idiot, basically.
And he wants the restructure of the Football League pyramid, introducing B teams.
As long as it suits his side.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're already in the checker trade and they don't fare too well, the majority of them, do they?
No.
And there's no...
I think even Chelsea do, I thought, because Chelsea don't play their, what you consider their top youngsters. They play like they're under 18s, under 19s. No, I can't find it. No.
So do you actually want to discuss B teams? Because you started and now you've kind of finished.
It disgusts me a lot because, but like I said to someone on Twitter yesterday, putting them in the EFL trophy hasn't increased attendance, has it?
No.
Right, and the first
I think
year
it's made
it,
the competition even worse than it was before, the fact they're in it.
Yeah, I'm not against the group stage, you know, but we don't need a bloody B team. Like, that first year they did it, like Swansea played Gerhard Tremel in goal, we were like 39, and Stoke had Peter Crouch playing in an under-23s team.
It's because they're allowed free overage, aren't they?
Yeah, but again, it's crap. We don't try and interfere with the Premier League. It's another way for Premier League to stockpile players. So, like, I think the comments he said was, oh, they wouldn't go any higher than League Two. But it defeats the object. Say if Man City's going to League Two and they win the league. I know they can't go up, but then what happens?
Yeah.
So do second, third and fourth go up automatically then. And like I say, they're going to be stockpiling players. You'll have players that will still be there at 24, 25, claiming to be Man City players. Playing in League Two, nowhere near the first team.
That's the only worry I've got as well with lower league clubs, Leagues 1 and 2, needing financial support from the Premier League, is that they try and add this stuff in as like a caveat, like, okay, we're giving you money, but
yeah,
we want you to accept this proposal.
There was a stat last night, wasn't there? Because England played last night.
Yeah.
And the 11 that started for England played more games in the EFL than the Premier League.
Mm.
Just, there's no need. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I think even the Wales team, most of them would have probably not if all of them would have been in the EFL, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, clubs, lower league clubs have helped players over the year reach the stage that they are now. If them clubs weren't there, they might not have made it. Look at Vardy, you know, worked his way up through the leagues.
Calvert-Lewin last night, he was at Sheffield United originally, doing nothing basically. Everton took a chance on him. He'd been out on loan to, was it like Staley Bridge Celtic, I think I heard on the commentary last night. Like these kids, there is already a loan system if they want their youngsters to go out and get experience. There is no need to be putting an entire, another team into a league that doesn't need fixing.
No. No, I mean, I don't really see the point of it because they wouldn't have crowds there.
And there's already a divide between the Premier League and the Football League, which the Championship are now edging more towards the Premier League, aren't they? Where do you draw the line?
Well, I guess at the end of the day, money talks, don't it? And I hope that it don't talk enough that it does result in really B teams in the league. But then if there's the choice that you've got to make, for which some of these clubs may have to, in that you accept this financial package with that caveat or you go bust, well, you've got no choice, have you?
It's just crap. Like, all the,
it's like, you know, they're twisting your arm up behind your back kind of thing.
But like I say, a lot of these players come from the lower leagues. Like, the EFL do their bit. You know, the EFL clubs. We know Matt Jarvis, all right, he only played once for England, but even we brought an England player once.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Well, not just that, but you know, how many years was he at Wolves in the Prem, West Ham in the Prem, Norwich?
Like you said, Vardy's a brilliant example, isn't he? Come from nothing.
Yeah. There can't be a way that B teams are allowed in the lower leagues. It just wouldn't work for a variety of different matters.
It'd be so hated.
It's just not.
You find as well, when you see online, the only people in favour of it are Premier League fans.
But a Premier League fan, like, I don't see what a Premier League fan themselves really get out of it, because they're not going to support. If you're a Man City fan, you're not going to support Man City B, are you?
No.
Unless you're that much of an anorak, I guess. But
see, there was a report the other day from Portugal, a guy saying, I don't know what year it was, like 2011 or whatever, they put like the top four teams in Portugal, they put their B teams into the League Two, but only two of them are still going.
All right.
You know, so say they go for it, and then a year later, one of them wants to pull out, you've then got an odd number of teams and it affects the EFL.
But the majority of Premier League fans probably don't give a shit about the youngsters anyway. No. Because if, again, you're a Man City fan and you've got John Stones at centre-back, for example, and he's having a nightmare. Instead of saying, who have we got in the youth, they'd be like, I'll spend £40 million on this player.
That's what I mean. Man City just signed that Ruben Diaz, haven't they?
Yeah.
For untold amount. That sends out the wrong message to their kids. Their kids know they're not going to get in.
Mm.
But if you're going to have a Man City B, then they're going to hang around for years, and then if they don't leave Man City B till they're 25, 26, they've got no career, right? They'll have a bit of money behind them.
I don't see how being in a B team in a lower league really helps that much, rather than going out on loan, learning a different style of football, the same, you know, like Trey Coyle and Medley, they're not playing the type of football that they're going to play at Arsenal, but it's a different way. They're going to take so much more from it than if they were part of this Arsenal team that come down to us in a few weeks in the Tin Pot Trophy. They get far more by doing a season with that than a season.
Like you said, it's experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
Realistically, are either of them going to become regulars at Arsenal? Probably not.
No.
So them getting experience now in men's football rather than playing against kids, because I say it a lot on the Under the Cosh podcast, reserve football, where it used to be, to what under 23 football is now, is stupid.
Yeah.
You have senior players now refusing to go down to 23s, where before they always wanted to play in the reserves. It's just not competitive now. It's kids in them leagues.
But then, just even going to the finances of the top clubs, like, everyone's losing money at the moment because of the situation we're in. But even when things are back to normal, it's going to cost... The top squads are going to have, like, between an A and a B team, they're going to have squads of, what, 50, 55 players? That's 50, 55 wages. You're not going to get any money coming from the B team. And so what's the point of it? The hope that, what, one or two...
more staff going, like, oh, sort of done.
The hope that one or two players transition from the B team to the A team. It all seems just a lot of effort and a lot of change to a football pyramid, which, you know, is symbolic with English La League football, just to make a few rich owners happy.
The best comment I saw yesterday... Somebody said, it's all right, this guy saying, oh, it works in Spain, blah, blah, blah. In England, if they go down to League 1, League 2, they're playing in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
And in Spain, they're playing in front of 20 or 30.
Exactly.
That's why it doesn't make a difference out there, because people don't care about the leagues, whereas in this country, like, even the championship's so well supported now. Look at the clubs in League 1, like Bradford in League 2, they're still getting, when we can go back in, they're getting like 12,000-13,000, I guess, maybe more.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like bloody Spain or Portugal.
You know, some of the clubs like Man City have got like feeder clubs elsewhere. So,
yeah.
You know, send your best promising young players there and send them around, scatter them around. I mean, I don't even agree with that necessarily. Like, we were speaking the other night in the pub, Daryl saying about Chelsea a few years ago when we had Houghton on loan, they had like 28 players out on loan. And you just think...
And you're not telling me at the age of 20, 21, most clubs have already made a decision on a player. Yet the odd exception, like to Harry Winks, I think he broke in quite late. But generally at 21, 22, they know whether them players are going to progress.
Yeah.
If they're not going to be in the first team, let them go. So you keep offering contracts, I'll go and play for the B team. It's just stupid. Yeah, right, so they have on their Instagram, oh, I'll play for Chelsea. No, you don't, mate, you're playing in League 2.
Yeah.
You're playing against Barrow. Yeah. Anyway, rant over. It's annoyed me the last couple of days.
Yeah, like I said, I've not followed it too much. I've kind of seen the headlines and not really read the ins and outs, but it's an absolutely pathetic idea that only benefits the top tier.
Rich, yeah. The rich keep getting richer and the poor at this moment are getting poorer and poorer.
Yeah, but no change to the football pyramid. The only change that I would actually make, and I've said it a few years, is I'd have three going down from League 2.
Yeah.
And have three for each league and three going down from each league.
I wouldn't be against a League 3 if it was a conference, because a majority of them teams are professional teams now.
But what do you mean? The National League, what, you just rename it League 3?
Yeah, there was talk of that a couple of years ago, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Because again, as proper fans, there is no benefit to having B teams in the lower leagues at all.
No. I mean, again, because that's been spoken about before, isn't it? B teams going into like National League level, but then they can't get promoted. Well,
no, and then you're sacrificing other teams.
Yeah. No, just...
So yeah, it's a no from us.
It's a no from us.
I'll be surprised if too many lower league fans agree with it.
No, I can't see them. You know, because it's going to affect... So if they go into the National League, it's going to affect National League South, the teams wanting to go up, because... And it just filter down. What, like, this country, we rave about and we appreciate our grassroots football from the bottom up, and any effect from... right at the top, does filter its way down, both positive and negative. So
you're not going to get John Smith in Man City B at the age of 24 suddenly going and playing for England.
No.
So, forget it.
Unless it's a comic book. On that note, anything
else?
We've
gone on bloody ages.
Yeah, I know, because you mentioned B teams. You threw that one in there. When I said, is there anything you want to discuss before we've done this? You said no. Then you threw B teams in there at the last minute. Anyway, we hope you've enjoyed our musings about the Jills, both past, present, and...
It hasn't been funny this week, really. It's been quite a straightforward one.
Yeah.
Well, that's strange.
We've got an idea for future. involving would you rather questions directed at yourself based on a few that you got on Twitter. So that's potential one that we've got coming up. But cheers for listening. We put the pod details on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to give us a comment, a like, a retweet. I nearly said retweet, and I think I've done that last time as well. Anyway, cheers for listening.
Up the Jills.